Seated and let's pray together. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you so much for this whole thought, Lord, of just that you have redeemed us, that you have delivered us, that you have set us free. You're our deliverer. We are the delivered. We, oh God, desire to be a people that live this delivered, saved, set free life. So that our lives may point to the greatness of this deliverer, the greatness of this Savior, the greatness of this Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who redeemed us from the pit, who rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the marvelous light of His Son. And Father, we come before you today so grateful for having heard that word and having responded. That Father, maybe through a Sunday school teacher, maybe through a mom or a dad or a grandfather or a pastor or an evangelist. Father, just we heard the word and you pulled us out of the pit of destruction. And we thank you, Father, today for this worship set, these words that we've sung, that, Lord, that speak of the greatness of our God. No one higher than you, no one worthier than you to receive glory and honor and praise. And, Father, I want to thank you that you've given us your word that reveals who you are, this record of who this great God is and what this great God has done and what you have done not only in past, but what you're doing now through the power of your word, through the power of your church, through the power of community. And we ask, Lord, that as we open it and as we continue and finish up really today, the Lord's Prayer, that you would be honored in it, that you would be glorified in it, so that, Father, our prayer lives may truly look the way you taught us to pray. God, I just thank you for what you've come to do this morning. And I pray, God, that you'd continue to stir our hearts. Continue to move in us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We're finishing up our series on the Lord's Prayer. We're going to be continuing in Luke over the next few weeks, talking about the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, how much more will your Heavenly Father give to the Holy Spirit who asks Him? So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, His work in our lives, and how He moves over the next several weeks or the next couple of weeks. And then we're going to move into our discipleship initiative. And we're going to be talking about the 10 things every believer needs to know and understand, or at least 10 things, right? I want to point you to this, to Luke chapter 11, and then we'll look at verses 1 through 4 for the last time, at least in this series. And then we're going to move through just some thoughts about this prayer. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come.'" And then Matthew adds, or Jesus adds in Matthew, "Your will be done." We've been looking at Matthew's passage as well. "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." And then Matthew will say, and we'll look at this in just a moment, "And deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever and ever." When I look at this passage of Scripture, we've been talking about just the power of it in the sense of this is what Jesus taught us to pray. These are the elements. These are the points. These are the bullet points that God is very interested in us praying to Him, speaking to Him. We look at 7 requests ultimately from Luke and Matthew, 3 that have to do with this exaltation of God: hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. 4 that deals with our need: Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from the evil one, or from evil. And so 3 requests that speak of God and His glory and what we desire to see happen in our lives. And then 4 requests of what God comes to do in our heart. And so when you look at this passage of Scripture, you see a lot of things about it. And we've tried to look at the whole scope of it. We see, first of all, relationship. We see that our relationship with God, who God is, who we are in Christ, and what we are, how we're to live. For instance, when we talked about our Father in heaven, we talked about God being Father, we being being His children, and we want to imitate this great God. We want to imitate our Father as beloved children. And so we did a whole message on speaking and living toward the life of God as Father. Hallowed be Your name. He is God. We are worshipers. He is our God. He's worthy to worship. We're to worship Him in spirit and truth. We're to hallow His name. His name is to be exalted from our lives, from our marriages, from our families, from our church. Wherever we go, may His name be exalted. We saw that He is King, and we are subjects of that King, even though He's our Father. We saw, Thy kingdom come, Your will be done. And we looked at Your will be done. We see, God, not only are You King, but You are our Lord, and we want to follow You. We want to submit to Your will. And if you'll remember, we spoke about coming, how Jesus came and said, I've come to do Your will, O God, not sacrifice, not offering, but Your will, O God, I've come to accomplish. And so as we've been looking through, we've been looking at who God is, who we are, and how we are to live. When I look at this passage of Scripture and just studying it over the last couple of days, I have a friend, a Facebook friend, and his name is Joe McKeever. He was my parents' pastor for a few years over in First Baptist Church of Kenner, Louisiana. And he's a blogger and he's a cartoonist, and I've met him. And he had a post this week, and it was just this thought. And he says, I'm working on an article called Short Prayers. And then he just said, Google it. And so I didn't read, I read a little bit more of it. And so I started Googling short prayers. And in the 1800s, there was a guy, and I can't remember his name. I can't remember his name, but he was publishing a publication on prayer, and he spoke of, and he kind of coined this term, flash prayer. Okay, later on, people would develop that and call it bullet praying or arrow praying. Okay, shooting arrows, and so I was looking at it. I was very, very intrigued. Especially because as we've been looking through this Lord's Prayer. And, you know, James says that we're to pray without ceasing. Or I'm sorry, Paul does in 1 Thessalonians. Pray without ceasing. Be in an attitude of prayer. And so he got to thinking about that, began to look at the short prayers of Scripture. These one-liners targeted at God. And, you know, I don't know about you, but you know, we've been talking about this prayer as a part of our prayer time. We get into prayer, we have this outline, we pray in the morning or we pray in the evening. But aren't we all praying all day long to some extent? And what we're doing is often it's just those one-liners, right? Just those one-liners to God, those short prayers that absolutely, totally mean something to us. Why? Because they meet us in the moment. They meet us in the moment of our need. Or they meet us in the moment of our joy. So I might look at a prayer that says, oh God, I need You right now. That's a bullet prayer. That's an arrow prayer. That is a prayer that we pray to God. And you know, oftentimes I've found in my own life that when I'm praying like that and I'm specifically speaking these kinds of things to God, I often see God at work. Don't you? Don't you see God answering those? And whether it's a need, whether it's a thanksgiving, whether it's a high praise to God, that short blip, that short prayer, that short thrust of the sword, that short and quick, putting the arrow into the bow and I mean just pulling it back and then letting it flow to the heart of God. This prayer, flash prayer, this arrow prayer. And so when we look at Scripture, and we see these kinds of prayers. By the way, when you walk into the foyer, you can find the sermon notes that are up on the screen. And right now, I just have about 75 last week. I think some of you found it, and there was none left from last week. But when you come in, you can get these notes, okay? And I want to just share with you 10, just real briefly, 10 short one-liner prayers toward heaven in the moments of these folks' life. Number one, the thief on the cross, Luke 23:42. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's short. You know, that's a short prayer, right? But isn't it powerful? I mean, what did Jesus say? How did Jesus respond? In that one short prayer, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Today you'll be with me in paradise. I'll answer that prayer. I'll answer the prayer of that moment. I'll answer it. You don't see this dissertation from this guy on the cross. It's just one little brief prayer. Oh God, save me, really. Remember me. Look at a dad whose son is demonized, Mark 9:24. You remember when he says, oh, if you can do this, if you can cast this demon out, if you can heal my son. And Jesus said, if you can, I can do all things for those who believe. And what did that man pray? He prayed, oh, God, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. A short prayer in the moment. Now listen to me. We've been talking about, and we're not negating what we've been talking about, and getting up in the morning or in the evening and spending the quality time with God. Not talking about that at this particular moment. I'm talking about when you get up from prayer and you're facing life and you need God in the moment and you confess that and you share that and you speak that and you cry out for that. So this dad says, oh, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Let me ask you a question. Did God help him? Did Jesus help him in his unbelief? Yes, he did. He answered. He answered the prayer. He healed the son. The demon was gone. The demon was gone. I think about Peter sinking in the sea in Matthew 14:30. You remember that? Lord, let me come out. Let me come out. He's walking on water. He's walking on water. He's doing the impossible. When he begins to see the waves and he sees the impossibility of this act that's happening, he starts to sink in unbelief. And what does he say? This one bullet prayer. Oh, Lord, save me. What about the tax collector in Luke chapter 18, verse 13, where he says, be merciful to me, the sinner. One small prayer. Listen, I've seen it. I've seen it in ministry. I've seen it where folks are coming to Christ. And instead of saying, okay, I'm going to lead you in this sinner's prayer, I just say, you pray. And you know what they say? God, save me. God, deliver me. God, I believe. Right? It's that short, powerful move of God for that one moment in my day that I needed God, that I needed to see Him work, that I needed to see Him help. Let me tell you, there is power in crying out to God in that moment. Save me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, I need you right now. I need you to manifest. I need you in this moment. I need your peace. The blind man in Luke 18:44, I want to regain my sight. Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4:10 had a few of them. Bless me. Enlarge my border. May your hand be with me. Keep me from harm. A leper in Mark 8:2, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And what does Jesus say? I'm willing. Be clean. You know what's so exciting about this? You can't put prayer in a box, can you? We want to put prayer in a box, say, this is how you got to pray it, and this is how you got to say it, and this is how you got to do it. Oh, listen, this guy says, hey, God, if you're willing, you can make me clean. What does Jesus say? Well, I'm sorry, but I need a little bit more faith than that. I need a little bit more faith than that, so come on back to me. You know, no, I'm willing. Be clean. Just like that man with the demonized son. God, I'm trying here. I'm struggling. I believe you, but I've got some unbelief going on in here. I've got some things going on. What does God do? God doesn't shoo him away and say, bring your son back when you've got more faith. No, God meets him right where he is in that moment. Why? Because he appealed to God. He appealed to incarnate God, Jesus Christ. And I love this thought, especially when we talk about the Lord's Prayer in a few minutes. Taking one of those phrases and living it out through the day and crying out to God when it's appropriate to pray and to speak that word out to God. Allow it to be the spontaneous work of the Spirit of God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:8, remove this thorn. Remember that? What did God say? No, I'm not going to do it right now. A little bit later, God, remove this thorn. No, not going to do it right now. Third time. God, Lord, I don't know if he said this way. Please remove the thorn. No. My grace is sufficient for you right now. Because power is perfected in weakness. And then you know what he said? Oh, you want to say it that way? Lord, don't remove the thorn. If it is a point of where I'm weak and you're strong and you're glorified and you are honored in this, I'll see that the thorn, I'll see to it that I'll live right with this thorn in my flesh. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness. Peter, or Jesus in John chapter 11, 39, just a short word at the grave of Lazarus. Remove the stone. Lazarus, come forth. Peter in Acts 9:40. Tabitha, Dorcas, same name, same woman, falls dead. And what does he say? Tabitha, arise. What did Tabitha do? She arose. Short, arrow-like, bullet-like. Just those short phrases that come forth from our mouths in times of praise, in times of worship, in times of thanksgiving, in times of desperation. Let me ask you the question. Can I have the mic? Do you have a mic? Yeah. Can you relate to this? Are you jobbing with this? You know. So let me ask you. What are the one-liners? What are those arrows that you cry out to God and you've seen God work? Anybody? Huh? Rod?
I can't tell you how many times when I get in a difficult situation at work or just working in mechanical things and you just lose grip with wisdom and knowledge, and I just quickly say, Lord, I need some wisdom on this. I need some knowledge. In a little bit of moment, I get it, and right. I figure it out.
Right.
It's amazing.
Great, great. Somebody else while I'm in this area? Yes, Nancy.
Many times I feel so weak doing things, or like when we go to China, and I just so many times I say, Lord, give me strength. And he does.
Yeah, give me strength. Give me wisdom. Somebody over here? Come on. I got a choice. Listen, I'm letting people hold the mic right now. Come on. Anybody? Huh? Janine?
Sometimes when I'm just totally frustrated with a situation and don't know what to do, I just call out, Jesus, help me. And he does.
Right. Mike, we had coffee yesterday, and you were in India, and tell us about that.
Well, I was in India, and I was very sick, and I went to an emergency room, and I was had a student with me helping me, or I don't think I would have made it. And I was so disoriented that I put my head down on the table, waiting on a doctor, and I just cried out, Lord, save me.
Yeah.
That's all I could do.
Yeah, right, great. And you're here.
I'm here.
Yeah, healthy, good. One more. Okay, Daniel.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right, good. It's a good one. Well, that was short, so got another one? Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Right. All right. Well, let me just say this. You know, I had about, I first really, really, the most memorable line, and that I'm back to right now, is just, God, grant me favor. Would you grant me favor with these people? Would you grant me favor in this situation? Would you grant me favor? You know, there's an Old Testament word. The word is called chesed, C-H-E-C-E-D. It is one of the most remarkable Hebrew words in all of Scripture. And when you study it, you look at it, and it says, it's chesed is, well, it's translated the loving kindness of God. But it's also, you can look it up in dictionaries, and it says this word is the mercy, grace, and favor of God. Okay. When we talk about mercy, we talk about grace in this word. And so I've been asking God, would you grant me favor? Would you grant me favor in this situation? Would you grant me favor? Would you grant me grace? Will you grant me mercy? You know, back when, it's been a few years ago, but I was on my way to Hong Kong. And I was going to speak at a missionary conference for singles. about 125, 130. And the Dallas flight was delayed, and we had lightning. And so I didn't get in, got late, got to Los Angeles late. And when I got up to the ticket counter, the line, you know, was very, very light, and I wasn't on this flight, okay? And there were some folks over that weren't on this flight either, and they were mad, and they were upset, and they were yelling, and they were screaming. And hey, let me just say this, don't do that, okay? You know, that's not that ticket agent's fault, right? But if you're yelling and screaming and demanding away something that they can't do, there might be something they can do, right? But you just lost it because you were rude. And so this guy tells me, and they're Chinese folks, and so this guy says, he's talking to these folks over here who missed this flight, and they're not on the flight, and they say, they're putting them up in hotels. And so he says, you go over there to that woman there. And this is what I said, honest, immediate. Oh, God, will you grant me favor with these people? So I go up to this lady. Her name is Joan. Remember her name, Joan. Very stoic. You know, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, when you're communicating with Chinese folks, there's just an abruptness about it. Matter of fact, when they answer the phone, it's, wait. You know, they say, wait, you're mad? No, wait. You know, they're not mad. That's just how they answer the phone. But there's this air about it. And so she's stoic, and she says, just follow me right now. Well, so I start following her, and she's going to these other airlines that would honor Cathay Pacific, and they're all in the same, I don't know, this one thing, I don't know. And so we go from ticket counter to ticket counter, and there's not a seat going to Hong Kong that night. And so we're walking back, I'm walking, and she finally breaks. She finally says something nice. Well, she didn't say anything mean, she just didn't say anything nice. And she said, I'm sorry that we didn't get you to Hong Kong tonight. And this I said, you know what, it's not your fault. You know, I just appreciate you doing everything you can to get me there. And she stopped. She says, you really need to get there tonight, don't you? I said, yeah. She said, follow me. So I'm following her. You know, I injured my heels about 3 weeks earlier, and they were just healing up. I fell off the top of a pickup truck. Our pickup truck just hit barefooted and hit those and couldn't walk for 3 days. And they were hurting, and I didn't have my walking shoes on. I had topsiders on. And so I'm just walking. I got my stuff because I never check bags. So I'm walking. And so she pulls this boarding pass out, and she says, follow me. I said, where are we going? She said, we're going to gate one. I said, good, gate one. So we went to airport's gate one's the farthest, right? And so, yeah. And so I look up, and, you know, we're in gate 28, you know. And so I'm following her, and she's got her little walkie-talkie, and she's talking, and she is sprinting. She's running, and I'm sweating, and my heels are hurting, and I'm running behind her, and I'm getting on the little walkways, you know, that you don't have to walk in, and I'm catching up with her, and then she speeds up. I get up to the counter, and she's not there, and she comes out, and she says, follow me. And so I follow her down to the plane. She says, wait right here. I wait right here. She goes back into the plane. I go, tell me what's going on. She said, well, this is a connecting flight, and sometimes people miss it. There may be a seat. So I said, okay. So she comes in and says, there's a seat. It's in business class. So anyway, I step in, she steps out, and I think, you got to know about me. I'm still a nervous traveler. I like to get there, and I like to get home, okay? I don't want to be stuck anywhere, okay? And those of you who travel with me know that I'm nuts about it, okay? So I tear off my itinerary because I think, if I'm not on the plane coming, I'm not on the plane going. So I said, will you please make sure that I'm on this flight on the way back? Yes. So anyway, so I get in and I settle down and I make the flight to Hong Kong. I get up. We get there early. The guy that's supposed to meet me is not there. It's about 2 hours before I meet him. So I go up to the ticket counter and I show my ticket and I ask the lady, am I on this flight on the way back? You know, she's doing that. No, you're not on the flight. I said, will you check again? Will you put my name in? Do not just the number. Oh, yeah, you're on the flight. So I think, okay, we're having problems here. So I said, will you give me a seat right now? Will you assign me a seat right now? And she says, sure, I'll assign you a seat. Okay, so she signs me a seat. So anyway, I walk. So I go through the week, and it's a great week, and I start getting nervous. I'm wondering if I'm on this flight. We get to the Hong Kong airport. I go up. I put my ticket. You're not on this flight. I said, will you check seat number 26C? Oh, yeah, there you are. puts me on. I think, gosh, I'm going through customs. I'm going through these lines, security. And I'm still thinking, am I really on this flight? Am I really on this flight? Am I really on this flight? I get in, we wait in the lobby there, and then we start the board, and I've got all my stuff ready. I give her my ticket. She puts the ticket, the lady puts the ticket in, and it beeps. Beep, 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 beep. I go, oh, I'm not on this flight. And she says, give it to me. So, you know, I give it to her, and I think, crosses it out. And you know what they did? They bumped me to business class. I got in that thing, I got in that airplane, and I know this is trivial for some of the things that you might be going through. Please bear with me. But I sat in that plane. And we start taking off. And I felt God, the first I heard God say, I answered your prayer. I granted you favor with those people. I granted you favor with those people. You know, I sat in that plane and thought about that prayer. And really, for the last 15 years, it is something that I pray regularly. God grant us favor. Grant me favor as a husband. Grant me favor as a dad, as a grandfather. Grant me favor as a pastor. Grant our church favor. Grant our people favor. Grant our finances favor. God, grant our home here, just the favor of God upon us. And I cannot tell you how many times God takes that, and I walk away and I forget about it for the whole trip. I didn't even think about that whole thing until I'm sitting in that seat, that business class seat, drinking coffee and orange juice and ordering something great. Thinking, God, you did. You answered that prayer. Let me tell you some of the things that these one-liners that have been meant so much to me. God, grant me favor with these people. Grant me favor with this situation. Back early in the early years when God asked us to stay, we thought God was asking us to stay at Cottonwood 20-something, almost 30 years ago, 28 years ago. I asked God, would you satisfy us with your presence? Not with church growth, not with budgets and not with buildings, but satisfy us with you. In your presence. I can't tell you how many times I prayed that one-liner, may I be led by your Spirit. Jesus, you are Lord over this. I can't tell you how many times that the situation's been hard and I'm able to say, God, you are Lord. Jesus is Lord over this. I can't tell you how many times in the last 3 years or 4 years that God has conditioned my heart to thank Him for everything, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's ugly. God, I thank you for this. It's just that one line thought that, God, I thank you for this difficult thing. And I'm just going to tell you some of the things I thank God for. It doesn't make sense why anybody would thank God for this. But something supernatural happens. When you ask God, or you thank God for everything, something supernatural happens when you confess Him as Lord over any situation that's bad or difficult. I've just seen Him work in these one-liner prayers. Oh God, may I love well. Lord, may I walk in patience in this situation right now. I prayed for our church. One-liners. Would you send hungry people who just want to move on with you? So all they want to do is just move on with whatever you have for them. God, would you send hungry people, hungry families to this place? Pray for my marriage. Lord, may we truly walk in oneness. May we truly think alike for our children. May you fulfill the meaning of their names. And I've prayed it. I've prayed it all. Just like you save me, heal me. I receive your peace. Deliver me. Deliver me. Deliver me from this stinking attitude that I have. Deliver me from this fear. Deliver me from this anger. Deliver me from the beginnings of unforgiveness and bitterness. Deliver me. And that's where we are this morning in the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. It's just that one short line that I can pray all day long. I can look at what I'm going to talk about here in the closing minutes of this message this morning. But when I think about God deliver me, what am I saying? I'm saying you are deliverer. You're the one who delivers. You're the one who saves. You're the one who redeems. And then as I walk up, and as I get up from my prayer and I walk through the day, I like to see a lot of things that I need to be delivered from. Don't you? I mean, listen, this prayer is not just about saying, God, will you forgive me for the past? It's about preparing for the future so that I can be strong in the future, so that I can avoid the sin that causes me to say, God, forgive me. Make it right. And I think this is what Jesus is saying. Listen, all of these things, really, God's already intending to do. I'm just walking in agreement with him. Deliver me, God. Deliver me from evil thoughts. Deliver me from evil motives. Deliver me from grumbling and complaining and murmuring. God, deliver me, God. Deliver me from that. I think that every one of us sometime this week can pray that about 5 times. Deliver me from this grumbling spirit. Amen? Is that right? All of us. The complaint that comes out of our mouth. Deliver me, Lord. That's what he said he's done. He says, I am your deliverer. Romans 11:26 says, the deliverer will come from Zion and he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. What a great promise. This thought of coming to deliver us and removing the ungodliness from us. So why not pray that? Why we pray? So one line, oh God, you're my deliverer. Put that back up, please. You're my deliverer. You've come from Zion, and you've come to remove ungodliness from me. You've come to remove ungodliness from my family. You've come to remove ungodliness from this nation. You've come to remove ungodliness. I want to walk in agreement. I want to walk in agreement with it. So show me where I'm ungodly. Show me where ungodly behavior is coming forth. And God, I want to confess it so that I might be delivered from it. Because, Lord, Lord, that walking in these attitudes and walking in this sin hasn't accomplished anything in my relationship with you. So deliver me, Lord. Deliver us from this. When I pray this, when I pray, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil, I'm acknowledging my relationship with God. He's my deliverer, and I'm the delivered. I'm the one set free. Colossians 1:13 says, he rescued us from the domain of darkness, and he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Turn to Psalm 40 for just a moment. Psalm chapter 40. And notice, I think we mentioned this last week, but verses 1 through 3, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he cried to me, and he heard my cry. See that? He cried out. He heard my cry. I like it because it's just kind of singular. It's not cries. You heard my cry. I cried out to you. You heard it. And what did you do? You brought me out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. You set my feet upon a rock. You made my footsteps firm. You put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. And many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. And how blessed is the man who's made the Lord his trust. He's not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. He's trusted God. Listen, you may be in the pit today. Cry out. Trust. And you know what? It's just an act of faith. Just reach up. Yeah, just do it physically. Just do it in the natural. I raise my hand up for you to come and deliver me out of this pit that I found me in. Listen, he did that at salvation, did he not? Amen? Listen, in whatever pit you've seemed to be fallen into, whatever that is, whatever it is, he is the God that is still the same, who delivers us, delivered us, and still does by reaching down and pulling us out and putting that part of our lives on the rock and putting a new song in our mouth, a song of praise to our great God. Thank you, deliverer. We are delivered. And that's all I'm doing in life. I'm just agreeing with this. And when I'm coming to this situation, maybe I'm driving and there's a wreck coming. God, deliver me from this. Just cry out. But I'm going to tell you, I haven't had that kind of experience with my car, but I've had it in life often. I'm driving down the road of life, and there's a wreck coming. And I say, God, deliver me from that wreck. Deliver me from poor choices and bad attitudes. Deliver me from these things, Lord. And what does God do? I'll just use the vernacular from last week. He dives into the dumpster as the dumpster diver and pulls us out of the dump. Amen. That's what he does. He's our deliverer. Now, let me just say a couple more things, and we'll close this morning. And you can get the notes. But there's when you look at evil, what is evil? Evil is that which is bad, and sometimes it's described as hard. It's also described bad, hard, wicked. Okay? Okay, and so he says, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the hard. Deliver us from the wicked. Deliver us from the bad. And there's at least three things that we find in Scripture that God says that we get delivered from. First of all, in this passage, back to Matthew 6:13, we didn't turn there, but the Bible says, but lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Matthew inserts an article. So he says, deliver us from the evil one. Okay? So there's a thought that this evil, and we know that, the evil one, who is Satan, that we spent a couple of weeks talking about, last couple of weeks, the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. I've also noticed, especially in 2 Timothy 4:17 through 18, talks about the fear of the evil one. So a lot of us know that we've been delivered, but some of us walk around fearing the evil one, fearing the devil. Let me just say this. You don't fear the devil. Jesus said, listen, let me tell you the one who feed you to fear, the one who has the authority to cast into hell. And I want to tell you, enemy doesn't have the authority to do that. Amen. We're to walk in a healthy fear of God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is. Listen, he says it to Timothy, that he's delivered us from the fear of the evil one. And so I encourage you, look at that passage sometime this week. Look at it, because he goes on to say, and he delivers us from every evil deed. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Please mark it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation overtaking you which is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation, make a way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Ought to memorize it. Every one of us ought to memorize this verse. There's nothing that the enemy can throw at us that it's all common. You're not going through something that anyone else is not going through. And this temptation comes and the enemy comes, but he says, listen, I'm going to only allow you to be tempted. I'm not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what your ability is. But I'm going to even make a way of escape. So let me say this. Evil deeds. God wants to deliver you from evil deeds. How? By standing strong in temptation. When the enemy comes and tempts you, to understand that temptation is common. And it's not given to me above my ability. In other words, I have the strength, I have the ability, I have the giftedness, I have everything I need to say no to that sin. But guess what else he does? Not only does he give us a temptation that we can handle, or he allows a temptation that we can handle, he always gives us a way of escape. Always. Always, 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 always. Can I say this? I'm going to say this to me. And then you can just take it as it was to you. Mike Fritcher, you have no excuse. Mike Fritcher, you have no excuse. You have a deliverer. You've been delivered. He's delivering you still from the evil one and from every evil deed. And then, you know, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 21, great passage of scripture. We might look at this the next time. But he tells us to stand so that we may stand firm in the day of evil. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm in the day of evil. The evil one, evil deeds, the day of evil. There are those kinds of days, aren't there? And those days sometimes go into seasons that we have to stand firm because things aren't changing. But I've got a God. His name is Jesus. Which means Savior, Deliverer, who's Emmanuel, who's with us to save us, to deliver us. So let's act like delivered people. You know one of the greatest ways to act like delivered people? Proclaim it. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said in Luke chapter 3, I believe, or 4, where he goes into the synagogue and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the liberty to the captives. And he's quoting Isaiah chapter 6, verses 61, verses 1 through 4. He's quoting that. He says he's resting upon us so that we might proclaim this deliverance. That's what this great commission is all about. It's going to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ so that folks who've been enslaved to sin and fear of the evil one all their lives might be delivered by the deliverer. And guess what the deliverer does? He puts the word and he puts the message in your hands and my hands. He puts it in your heart. He puts it in your mouth so that you might bring it, that you might speak it, that you might live the deliverance power of God. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together, okay? And ushers, come forward for the morning offering, okay? Come on forward for the morning offering. Let's pray together. God, we are grateful. We are grateful for this prayer. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, may we walk from this place with those kinds of one-liners. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses. We're forgiven everyone who's sinning against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from every evil deed. Deliver us, Lord, from the day of evil. Teach us what it means to walk in agreement with that, to resist temptation and to put on the full armor of God. I thank you that you not only deliver us, but you give us a part in the deliverance through faith and through self-discipline. Lord, if there's someone in here today that's in the pit, I pray this would be their day. That they'd just reach up and you'd reach down and you'd pull them out of the pit. Maybe there's the pit of just darkness, Lord, that they've never come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I pray that today would be the day that they come to believe him, that he's their deliverer, that they can be delivered today and walk a life of deliverance, freedom, to know that whoever the Son sets free shall be free indeed. And Father, if there's someone in here today that's just in the pits today, I pray that they go from this place knowing you've touched them and they're out of the pit, walking in agreement with you. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're such a precious God. Sweet God, sweet Father, Abba God, I thank you, Lord, for this series. And I pray, Lord, as a result, that God, that we would move from this place praying in that morning hour, in that evening hour, sitting long before you, but then getting up and living life, just kind of throw in those one-liners, Lord, as they come, as they meet the need of the moment. Thank you for this offering. We receive it with, Lord, we ask that you'd receive it today with joy, and I pray we'd give it with joy. I want to thank you, Lord, that you love cheerful givers, hilarious givers. And God, only those who give know what it's like to give cheerfully and to give your way. And so, Lord, I pray that, Father, that we'd be a church full of happy, cheerful givers. May we give what you've purposed, that we've purposed in our hearts to give, what you've spoken in our hearts, whether it's the tithe or the offering today. And I pray that you'd bless it. I pray that you'd bless it locally. I pray that you'd bless it amongst the Hani, the Zanzibari, the Tarumara, the Indonesian, Lord, Turkey, all the places that our people are today. I want to thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, if you do that real quick. Terry Moan, no, you've been dreading this all morning. Come on up. He asked me to just, he's standing upright. He said, can I just do it from my seat? I said, no. But we'll do it right here in this section. Is that okay? Yeah. This is Terry Moan. Terry, you grew up in New Zealand, right?
Yeah.